Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
You cannot bear fruit unless the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in your life. To bear fruit God's way, it has to be the Spirit of God doing the work, not you doing the work trying to manufacture artificial fruit.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Good For You. So one of the things I think maybe all people hear at some point in their life is a parent, maybe a mom, usually saying, well, if you know what's good for you, anybody ever heard of that? You'll blank, whatever it is. So here's kind of, we're going to jump off to a bunch of stuff, but here's kind of the basic premise. What gets us in trouble a lot of times is we think we know what's good for us. I know what's best for me. I'm going to do what's good for me. And someone will say, well, if that's what you think is good for you, knock yourself out. I don't tell everybody that. So people go to make a decision. I go, dude, what are you doing? Well, I think this would be the best course of action. You know that's not true. You know the scripture doesn't back you up. What are you doing? Well, this is just what I want to do. I think it'd be good for me. Instead of stopping and asking God, what do you say would be good for me? What do I need to do here? And not just what would be good for me, what do I need to do that would be good for you, God? Glorify you, point to you. So we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and go left to right pretty much. There are some different ways this little phrase, good for you, can be used. I have a buddy who has been in real estate for 40-something years, and he has an opportunity at one of the biggest real estate deals and developments ever. Well, when he told me about it, and I talked to this guy at least once a day, it was like it was happening to me. And I was like, dude, good for you, right? Excited for him. It's not me, it's him. So why am I excited for him like it's happening to me? Because he's my friend. Because I love him. Because I want the best for him. And so I get excited when he's excited. In fact, I think I was a little more excited than he was about his potential opportunity. On the other end of the spectrum, there are things that happen. Somebody says, oh, I just booked a trip to Paris and me and blah, blah, you know, and you go, oh, good for you. You know, it's not a, oh, good for you. It's like, yeah, whatever, dude. I don't get to go, so, you know, I'm not really happy for you, but good for you. So it can be sarcastic. Different ways to say it. And then there are things that are, that you eat. You know, I thought I was making progress. I really did. I completely gave up the Dr. Peppers. I'm in a support group and it's going well. But then I rediscovered banana popsicles. And I can't even begin to explain to you how many banana popsicles you can eat in a day if you just let yourself go. It's a healthy, it's got fruit in it. And it's a reasonable choice. But then the question is it good for you? Right? And my brother will say, Richard, no. He says, sugar is Satan. Sugar is the devil. It will kill you. Right? Please don't tell me you believe that because I need support. I had a bunch of guys in my house yesterday and I was passing out banana pops. Everybody's out, whether you want one or not, you're going to eat one with me. So would I give up banana pops? You say, well, this is stupid stuff. We're all doing stupid stuff that could be killing us, right? So Deuteronomy 6:24. This is, they're finally, the people of God are finally about to go into the promised land. And I recommend reading this whole chapter. But in verse 24, and the Lord commanded us, and he's just laid out all these things that God is saying to do. The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. So at what point do you realize that God is not against you, he is for you? If he tells you something, he's not trying to crush you, he's not trying to ruin your life, he's trying to help you. He's not, and if you're a Christian, it's not that he's on your side, he's on your inside. And so from the inside out, he is saying, okay, what are we gonna do? And you go, I'm gonna do this. He says, that's not gonna be good for you. And if it's not good for you, it's not good for me, because you don't own you anymore. I own you, and I need you to recognize that and yield and trust me. And people say, what if I trust God, I'm gonna end up in Africa as a missionary, you know, they have all these terrible scenarios, or I just won't be able to do what I wanna do anymore. And then that will involve potential suffering. I have been doing this a very long time, and I am telling you that telling God no results in suffering. So you say, well, I don't want to suffer. You're going to suffer either way. It is better, the book says, to suffer for doing the right thing than the wrong thing. So do what he says. And back to the banana popsicles. You know, I went to the store the other day to get my 72 popsicles. I don't buy them one at a time. I get four packs at a time in case there's an emergency. There could be an emergency. Shortage, tariffs, I don't know. I'm going to be ready. Yeah, supply chain, exactly. So I know it's silly, you say it's silly, but your deal may be silly too. When you're going to get that big thing of Bluebell ice cream at 1:30 in the morning, sitting by yourself in the dark, forget the bowl, we're going straight in the carton, right? Or the vodka in the water bottle in the freezer in the garage that you think nobody knows about. And you say, well, one day, this is my last sip, one day. So we all got stuff, but do I have the courage to say, okay, Lord, not my will, your will be done, enough. So Deuteronomy 6:24 commanded us to observe these statutes, fear the Lord our God for our good always. He's trying to help them, he's trying to help us. Go to Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? So like, what is he asking for? But to fear the Lord your God, so the fear thing is, and by the way, that's not, oh, this kind of fear, like, oh, he's gonna pop me, which I kind of had from my dad, but God's not just waiting to smack you when you get out of line, just for fun. But to have an awe or respect for him, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and look at the next thing, what is it? And to love him. He's not just about a bunch of rules. He's clearly declared his love for us. He let his own son die on a cross, be buried, raised from the dead to pay for our sins and get us into heaven. So you know he can't be against us. But he's like, I love you. I need you to love me back. And to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Like, it's for your good. And everybody that's a parent understands this stuff. And you have these moments where you look at your kids and you say, look, what have I got to do to explain to you? If you run out in the street, you could be killed. I'm spanking you to get your attention because I'd rather spank you to get your attention than you get hit by a car and you're dead. Okay, well, I want to, and then we just go back and do what we want to do. And parents get frustrated with kids. Why won't they just listen? And then you hear this echo from heaven. Why won't they just listen? Why won't you obey me? And God's like, yeah, exactly. Look at this. That's my relationship with you. Why won't you obey me? Well, my way's better. I know what's good for me. You're trying to withhold some good thing from me. And there's literally verses in the Bible that say that's not true. He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. Go to the next one. Proverbs 3:7. Now, this is back to what I keep repeatedly saying to you and myself. Read the Bible. And I'd hate to even use these kind of words because someone's going to say I'm abusive or whatever, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you wake up and the first thing, especially if you're a Christian, and you even glance at the horoscopes, you are a complete idiot. You are a fool. Well, I'm just curious. Stop being curious about nonsense. There's no truth in there for you. Go to the scriptures. And if you read the scriptures, you find verses like this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. By the way, there's that fear the Lord thing, and then depart from evil. If you make that choice, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You'll be physically healthier if you live a godly life. Sin will kill you. Well, I'm going to be wise in my own eyes. I got this. I don't need to ask God. I don't need to get godly counsel. I'm going to make this decision because I know what's good for me. And then you wake up in another heap, another mess, and you go, how did I get here? You keep putting yourself in these situations. Proverbs 17:22. Proverbs got a lot of stuff in it, by the way. And if you've never heard this suggestion, you say, well, I don't know where to start reading in the Bible. Whatever day it is in the month, if it's the 17th of the month, read Proverbs 17. If you miss a day, what's today? The 23rd, you know, whatever day it is, read. You say, well, what good is reading the Bible going to do? I don't know. Everything else you put in your brain is not helping. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart. You say, well, how do you have a merry heart? You stop complaining all the time. You stop worrying all the time. You find some good in a situation. You laugh together. And the Bible talks about it literally being like medicine. It physically changes how you feel. Proverbs 22:17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips. So where does he start here? Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. If you run with fools, you're going to be a fool. Look at your life, look at your behavior, and ask yourself, am I running with wise, godly people or a bunch of idiots like I look like? And if you don't like the way your life is going, then change the people you're running with and listening to. Ecclesiastes 7. So I'm reading you a ton of stuff that is good for you. Now, whether you do it or not, I don't have control over that. Ecclesiastes 7:12. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. And this word, you say, well, what does it mean that money is a defense? The word defense can also mean protection or shelter. So money gives you a buffer sometimes where you don't get in trouble as fast financially. So wisdom is a defense. So when you have wisdom, when you say, okay, God, show me things that I can't see apart from you, and then let me use that stuff, it will protect you. So if you want protection, then pray for wisdom and use the wisdom. And you'd be amazed how your life is just so simplified. So let's try this one, John 15:8. So here's what's good for you and for God and everybody in the world. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, people ask sometimes, what is the difference in bearing fruit here and the fruit of the Spirit that I'll read you here in Galatians 5 in just a second? You cannot bear fruit unless the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in your life. To bear fruit God's way, it has to be the Spirit of God doing the work, not you doing the work trying to manufacture artificial fruit. Jump over to Galatians 5:22. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's nobody saying, oh, that should be outlawed. Those are all good things, always have been, always will be. So the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ growing in you, manifest in you, then results in your ability, you're able to bear much fruit, and that's the result of Christ's life flowing through you. Okay? So if you say, well, how do I bear fruit? You got to first be walking in the Spirit where the fruit of the Spirit is manifest, and then out of that relationship and that fruit, then you bear fruit and your life changes and everybody around you changes. One is the inward character, the other is the outward impact, but the two feed each other. As your inner character is transformed, your outward fruitfulness naturally increases. Stop. If you're trying to work for God to accomplish something that he's going to be pleased with, forget that. Say, Lord, am I walking in the Spirit? Am I connected to you in such a way that all this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, manifests in my life? Then out of that, you will bear fruit. It's not possible not to. Okay? So this isn't a trick thing. It is a little mysterious, but if you figure out how to do it his way, it happens. I got a peach tree at my house, and it blew up last year. I told the guys, I had neighbors I didn't even know, like, oh, hi, how are you? Can we have some peaches? I'm like, who are you? This year, not so much. Scrawny little nothing. All my new friends, they're not talking to me. But if it blows up again next year, oh, how are you? Can we have some peaches? You know, they're back. But the only way that tree is going to bear fruit is for it to stay connected to the ground, to the roots, where that sap, all that nutrients, nourishment goes into those branches and blows that thing up when it's time. So it's not, I don't wake up in the night hearing my peach tree going, and rush out, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm just trying to make peaches." You're like, "That would be stupid." Exactly. So you get connected to him and you say, "Lord, okay, I'm going to get out of the way. You know what's good for me. Here we go. Move through me. Now use me to do what you want done." What else we got? Romans 12:15. I kind of intimated this to this verse, but I would really love for all of us to get in on this, like you really can get in on this. Romans 12:15 says this: "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." There's no way you're going to be that person unless you love the people that are rejoicing and that are weeping. So when something wonderful happens, you rejoice with them. The pendulum swings. When something terrible happens, it swings the other way. And now you find yourself weeping with someone as though what happened to them had happened to you, because we are connected. And people cite Job and that whole story in a lot of ways, and his buddies screwed up. The book would be way shorter if they just kept their mouths shut. It'd be like four chapters. But they did one thing right. They showed up, sat with him for 7 days, and no one said anything, because that was what you did. That was the right thing to do. And he's heartbroken, they're heartbroken with him, and that's what you say. Well, what do you say? Sometimes you don't say anything. You just weep with people who weep. Well, how's that going to fix it? I don't know, but it helps. 1 Corinthians 12:26, and this is to this same point. This whole chapter talks about that the church is a body, and one person's one thing, one person, the stuff that really matters in your life, you're physically, you can do without a lot of things, but the stuff you can't see on a person's physical body, you can't live without. You can lose your eyes, you can lose your hands, you can lose your, you know, blow your foot, you can do all kind of stuff, but you start taking vital organs that you can't see, you're dead. So we're all connected, we all serve different purposes. But in this verse it says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." So Alex is sitting back there at one point, world champion, Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter. Did I get that right? You say, "Well, who cares about that?" I don't know, if you knew and loved Alex, you'd think that was pretty cool. But if your thought is, "I don't know him, and who does he think he is? He didn't claim to be anybody. I brought him up." So if you've been coming here for any amount of time, you know, if you come for the whole game, we have a prayer time, and the mics go around, and good things happen and tough things happen. And you learn to swing. And if Alex says, "Hey, I got to praise, I won this fight, I'm the world champion," we go, "Yes!" So it's like it happened to the whole church. And then someone says, "My mom died," or whatever, and then it swings that way. Sitting right in front of Alex is Kenny. And a few months ago, his wife died. But he's not by himself either. One is not by himself in the rejoicing, and the other is not by himself in the weeping if it's working. And people say, "Well, I don't, you know, I'm going to go to a church because I got hurt by a church." Don't be giving up on the bride. That's all there is. There is no backup bride. Jesus didn't have any mistresses, no concubines. This is it. And when you need the church, you better be in a church, because you're not doing it by yourself. And so you stiff-arm Jesus, you stiff-arm his church, you stiff-arm other people to protect yourself, but then you're so protected that when something goes wrong, you're alone. Or when something goes well, you're alone. And there's no one to rejoice, there is no one to weep, or anything in between. But when you get connected, then your turn comes. And when something happens good to you, we rejoice with you. And when something bad happens with you, we weep with you. And now you're not by yourself. Ephesians 4. While you're looking for Ephesians 4, I can't guarantee this with my wife, but if I say that she has beautiful eyes, all of a sudden her whole body is eyeballs. You know what I'm saying? "Wow, you have beautiful eyes." The whole body goes, "Whoa, the eyes have it." Your toes are eyes all of a sudden. The whole body springs into rejoicing like they notice the eyes. They don't go down there and go, oh, I'm stuffed in these socks, in these shoes. I smell bad. Nobody says anything about me. Ephesians 4:31. And this stuff is not in here for filler, by the way. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So get rid of all that and do what? And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I mean, I'm willing to get pretty vulnerable in what I say up here, but there's some things that I have been forgiven of by that redhead that I don't care to share. But we would not survive if she were not able to forgive, because I am not a perfect husband. So you're not going to make it without forgiving. And you're not going to make it if you're going to stick to bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. If you don't put that stuff away and forgive and move forward, you're not going to make it. Because sometimes the only way forward is forgiveness. It doesn't mean it's right, it's okay. How many men in this room right here have been able to move forward because a woman forgave you? Raise your hand. How about 1 Timothy 4:8? He says, for bodily exercise profits a little. Now, this is not going to be very pleasant for some of you. For some of you, you'll go, oh, no big deal. We got people in here that are around us that work out to extreme levels, and I understand you say you have a reason. The Bible doesn't say that bodily exercise does not profit, but compared to exercising spiritually, it's little compared to that. Because the body you're exercising, trying to perfect and please the mirrors with, is going to die. But the you that is really you is going to live forever. So he goes on to say, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. Now, this is what you don't want me to ask you. If that is your deal and you're a workout fiend, does your spiritual time with Jesus match your physical time in a gym? And how many people say, oh, I just don't have time to spend time with Jesus? I'm like, dude, you just spent an hour and a half in the gym doing curls in a mirror. What, you thought you were going to do it wrong? And if your shorty shorts get any tighter, they're going to arrest you. So what is all that about? Oh, I want to feel good about me. I want to look good. Who are you trying to look good for, by the way? Well, I'm trying to look good for my husband. Okay. For my wife. Okay. This all gets so screwed up with any number of things. So I'm not saying don't exercise, but make sure you're spending some time with Jesus, and that if we had to stand you up in front, or me up in front of a spiritual mirror, what would I look like compared to a physical mirror? Are you in shape both places? And I am in shape. Round is a shape. So, right, Anthony? Round is a shape. So you say, well, I want to do what's good for me. God wants what's good for you. What is good for you? It's Him. He's what's good for you. And you got to yield. So we're going to keep going down this path. I'm going to keep encouraging you in this way, and I'm going to lose some of you. You're going to go, you'll leave here. You may not go to any church, or you'll go find another church where the preacher's got longer nails and he's nicer. And he won't challenge you. He won't say anything. He'll let you live in your sin, do what you want to do, just won't try to offend you in any way. So you'll keep coming back and giving a little money so they can pay their note off and whatever's going on. I'm trying to help you find out what God says is good for you and do that. Okay.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Okay, so let's end with this. Ask God what He says is good for you. And while you're talking to Him, ask Him, God, what is good for you? And I'll tell you, one of the main things that is good for God is that you don't reject His Son. This whole thing is very expensive from God's throne. Because to make this work and to reach the world and redeem, make redemption possible, the Father had to be willing to send the Son in. The Son had to be willing to come, or we got nothing. So I'll tell you what's good for him is when he approaches, you say yes.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.